May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The naming of Jesus. When we really think of how Jesus first comes into a family, and a very ordinary family, this is before being presented before the wise men or the kings, whatever you call them, at Epiphany, we have just this short passage when we think about Jesus claiming kinship with very ordinary people. What does it amount to? That first reading from Galatians puts it very succinctly. Paul spells it out about who Jesus is and how we stand in relation to him, to Jesus. In the fullness of time, God sent a baby named Jesus, and the name itself, God's salvation. God's salvation. He'd sent a baby named Jesus to take us from being fearful subjects of an angry ruler to become children of the living God. Jesus came into the world to redeem us from the slavery to sin and to show us the face of a loving God. Jesus brought us close to God in a way that we had never experienced before. He did something that could never be accomplished by any prophet or any teacher or any other great religious leader. As the Greeks claim it, God has been seen. God has been seen. God has been seen on earth. And that makes a radical difference to everything we understand about God and about worship and about prayer. How simple is Paul's words? How simply and how definite he is. He is telling us, just in sum, that we are, you are, all sons and daughters of God, and you belong to Jesus Christ. You are part of his family. Blunt and simple. There are two things very important when you are born, in those very first few days. One is, who's your family? And the other thing is, what's your name? Who is Jesus' family? Jesus may have been born in a very humble place, but his family are ordinary, decent people. You'd recognize them straight away. When you have a new baby, you show the little one to the family, to the grandparents and those who'll be brothers and sisters or aunts and uncles. You might have the baby baptized or christened, or you might have one of the special naming ceremonies in our wonderful prayer book, a very helpful service, but of bringing the child into the family of God. You might give the little one special things to mark their arrival and welcome them. You possibly do. Family members do that. These are things that are important to you and to your loved ones. You're telling the baby that it is special and treasured, and you are rejoicing. Jesus was welcomed in the traditional way of those days for a baby boy, which included circumcision and the sacrifice, in this case, of pigeons. I want to mention something about that, about the pigeons, because it's important. It wasn't in today's reading, it's in the next paragraph that follows, but the custom was that you brought a lamb for sacrifice, for thanksgiving. Well, then as now, a whole lamb would be very expensive. Fact. And it was for them. The alternative was that you sacrificed two pigeons. Why two? One of them was to make up for the lamb. I know it sounds curious. Well, just I want to stress that Mary and Joseph brought pigeons. Now, there was a formal title for that in the liturgy of their church. It was called the offering of the poor. What does that tell you? How does that come across you? We are seeing that it was into an ordinary home that Jesus was born, a home that was a bit short on luxuries and couldn't afford expensive things. These were people who had to be careful about the cost of living. Yes, but they would always do the right thing by their child. And by the right thing, I mean the decent thing, the spiritual thing, the mark of reverence and thankfulness to God. And they would always do right by their child when it came to morals and spiritual values. Jesus would be brought up knowing about the difficulties of making ends meet in family life. He would have known that. You know, there would come a time when he would say, do you know about a woman who searches the house for a lost penny? I think Jesus had seen that sort of thing go on. People driven to distraction because, you know, a valuable penny was missing. So Jesus knew about the difficulties of making ends meet in family life. But he was also knew that he was brought up in a family that kept reverence for God. That's helpful for me, that's helpful for you, to know that. Those are the things that mark out how Jesus' upbringing is going to be. But to Jesus' name, how did Jesus get his name? We're told two things. An angel told Mary to name her child Jesus. That's in Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 21, Joseph is told in a dream that he is to name his child Jesus. The conversation between the two, Mary and Joseph, they must have been thunderstruck to find they had both been told, this is the name for the boy. What does his name mean, and why is that important? It was Yeshua. The Lord saves. God's salvation. Later on, it would turn into be called Jesus. It would be pronounced Jesus. But that's how he would have been called, Yeshua. God's identity is in this child. God identifies this child's destiny. And our salvation is revealed in that name. Jesus is fully human and born of Mary, but in his name there is great power. In his name is revealed his great saving power. And just a last question. How do we call on the name of Jesus? Because we talk about this in church, don't we? We say this. In prayer, we say, I called on the name of Jesus in this situation. I called out to Jesus in this problem, in this difficulty, in this moment of crisis. God willed his Son to be among us. And we bear that in mind in all of our circumstances, good or bad, that we can call upon the name of Jesus. You don't have to go down to the local church to do this. You can do this in your own kitchen or sitting room. You can call on the name of Jesus. And God anointed his Son with the Holy Spirit and power to do his work on this earth. The name of Jesus is the name that for us speaks of justice, peace, and love. It is for us the name above anything other. It is the name we esteem above any other earthly name. And it is our strength and it is our hope. And that is why we can call upon the name of Jesus, because that is our strength and that is our hope. In these wonderful words, and you know them, and you can say them with me if you want to, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's quite a name. Quite a wonderful name.